Brought to you by North Memorial Health, where customers are treated like family. That means a big smile when you walk in the door and making sure your visit is as pleasant as possible. It's just like your family treats you. Find your healthy family at northmemorial.com/family.
Welcome to another episode of the Access Vikings podcast. My name is Andrew Kramer. I am joined by Ben Gessling. Hi, Ben.
Hello, Andrew.
Long time no see.
Are we 6 feet apart?
I think we are. We can't.
Enough, right? Practicing social distancing.
Can't be touching. Yeah. And these are trying times.
Yeah.
Here. We have to be very careful.
Yes. But we're powering through it because there's lots of Vikings news.
Yeah, lots of Vikings news. A lot to get to. Emergency podcast here. Weren't necessarily planning to do it this quickly in free agency, but with everything they got done in the matter of, 12 hours really after the franchise tag deadline, or 12 hours just on Monday, I guess, in total. Ben, we're going to talk about the Kirk Cousins contract extension. We're going to talk about Stephon Diggs being traded to the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about the remake of the defense, the franchise tag of Anthony Harris, the release of Linval Joseph, and the release of cornerback Xavier Rhodes. A lot of big moves going on, but really the headline to me is them trading Stephon Diggs, obviously, to Buffalo. A move that we've discussed at length throughout last season and throughout these podcasts this offseason. Why did it happen now, and why Buffalo?
Well, I think it was, I mean, I'm sure this was in the works, and I wouldn't put a lot of it on Diggs' tweets yesterday. I don't think this was, Diggs tweeted, time for a new beginning, and then told people, I'm not being cryptic, and did it for that reason. I'm sure he had been told, hey, they're going to get you something done today. He had been agitating for this, as we've talked about a number of times, since last year. I mean, basically didn't like the direction of the offense, didn't like how run-heavy it was going to be, didn't really like that Adam Thielen got the deal that he got last year. And in fact, I think we've talked about it, that there was some concern in the Thielen camp initially, from Thielen himself, I think, that if this deal is bigger than the one Diggs has, this could be a distraction, and I want Diggs to be focused and ready to compete. I mean, I've been told that that was a consideration that went through Thielen's mind as this all got done for him. So,
and you pointed out when the contracts came in so similar.
Yeah, very similar. The bonuses were all the same. The incentives were all the same. So there's that. There's Dalvin Cook becoming a bigger part of the offense. There's, I think, the question of whether he was sold on Kirk Cousins, I think, is a valid one. I think that's certainly part of what led to this. And he got what he wanted in the end. I mean, talking to a couple people in the building last night, it was like, man, I love the guy, but this is a little bit of a relief just because he, as he had become more and more upset with being here, it had become a bigger and bigger elephant in the room. He had been productive, obviously, had a good season last year after leaving the team in week four, but the social media stuff and I think things he was saying behind the scenes as well made it very clear that this wasn't going to work. And I think, you know, the bet all along was, do they believe they can work with him next year, knowing that they are keeping the same system and the same objections that he might have are going to be in place? And ultimately they decided, let's move on.
Yeah, that's what we talked about in terms of when they doubled down and Gary Kubiak becomes the offensive coordinator. Not a surprise, Mike Zimmer saying Gary's the best thing that's ever happened to him in his coaching tenure in Minnesota anyway. All those things pointed to that they just can't allocate that. It was all about resources. It was all about, can you handle to have two wide receivers at $14 million a year in a salary cap sport where you're paying Kirk Cousins as much money as you're paying him? And Kirk Cousins is not the quarterback who's going to make up for the fact that you don't have that extra $10, $15 million to spend elsewhere on the roster. He's not that good. He needs the pieces around him. He says it. That's why he came to Minnesota, because it was such a talented roster. But I can imagine even he might be, I don't know this, but I would imagine he might be even a little relieved too at this news, because a lot of the tension around the offense and the direction of it was being pulled in many different ways, in part because Diggs was pulling one way. And Kirk, who loves this system, felt comfortable in it, was definitely pulling in the way that the Vikings want to go.
Yeah. Well, and Mike Zimmer is certainly pulling in that direction as well. I mean, hiring Gary Kubiak, giving him as much control as he did to kind of remake the offense in the image of what he had done through much of his career, and saying Gary Kubiak was the best thing that ever happened to him, basically offering him the offensive coordinator job without a public search after Kevin Stefanski left for Cleveland. He basically, Gary has said that Zimmer came to him pretty quickly afterwards and said, I want to give you the job. There was not really much thought in Mike Zimmer's mind about, do we need to go out and do this big comprehensive search? So when he is pushing that direction as well, and I think Rick Spielman certainly likes this direction. I mean, they like the identity of it, is we're not going to do it like everybody else does. We're not going to rely on analytics to tell us that we have to throw the ball 70% of the time, except when we're ahead in the fourth quarter. We're going to run the ball. We're going to impose our will. They like all of those things, and they like the identity of it, I think, but I think they also believe it's an effective way to play. Mike Zimmer, I think, believes that because as a defensive coach, he sees what a strong running game has done to his defense over the years. Not looking at the analytics part of it as much, but there are a lot of thumbs on the scale of doing things the way they have started to do them, and when that was not going to change, and it certainly is not going to change. If you're Stephon Diggs, you either have to probably get with the program or try to force your way out, and ultimately he was able to do that.
And Josh Allen, the young quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, tweeted out after the trade came out, "You dig it?" And I think Diggs, what he
it's like a fire emoji.
He messaged something like, I can't remember what the tweet was.
Let's go. Let's get. I mean, something.
Something exciting. Something like he's going to report. It's not Antonio Brown saying, I'm not going to Buffalo.
It was not cryptic.
No. I think Diggs, and he tweeted this the other day, that he embracing a new challenge, new change, new beginnings, however he phrased it. So this is something where I think both sides just are properly breathing that sigh of relief of like, oh, finally this happened. And it made clear, Ben, that Diggs' tensions weren't going anywhere, or his issues weren't going anywhere. They weren't subsiding. And this wasn't something the Vikings felt like that they could just kind of sweep under the rug and would be okay. What it does, though, is it speaks to their ability to manage some of these relationships. Because you've seen over the years, Everson Griffin comes to mind. You've seen over the years some players who go through some things off the field. Not to say Stephon is in the same camp as that, but it's relationship management, and the Vikings have been able to do it. When Diggs skips out week four on three different practices, Ben, and he doesn't show up for a few days and then all of a sudden does, and everything's just fine, and he goes and has a decent season enough to trade him for a first-round pick and a bunch of late-round picks, I think that's a testament to the Vikings being able to at least smooth things over and get rid of a guy much better than, let's say, Bill O'Brien, who reportedly just didn't get along with DeAndre Hopkins and shipped him out for nothing.
Yeah. Well, glad Bill O'Brien was able to tank both of our fantasy teams with DeAndre Hopkins before doing that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. A redraft league, and I got to go try to get him again.
If you got him in a dynasty league, though, you're pretty set now, though. Kyler Murray is going to throw to him like 400 times a season.
Had him and Christian McCaffrey both in a dynasty league. That league folded before last season.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
Anyway, though, I just think it's the Vikings got something right in at least managing this situation, because it could have been so much worse. And what they got for it, and this is the second time they've done it, because that Percy Harvin trade, Ben, what they got in return from Seattle and what the Vikings got in return from Buffalo, it's not too dissimilar.
Well, and it was played very similarly. I mean, Rick Spielman saying the whole time, you know, we have no intent to trade Percy Harvin. There's no reason to think Stephon Diggs is not going to be on the roster. The subtext of that, of course, is give us a good enough offer and we'll think about it. So he's not going to come out and say that publicly, but that's kind of, I think, at the time when all of us are saying, okay, there's a history of doing this before. You know, we get a lot of the reaction of, oh, you guys are making something out of nothing. You're overreacting. And, well, and what was the line Spielman used on us? Things are sensationalized that shouldn't be. No disrespect to your profession.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah. Rick, some of it is that we've seen this movie enough that we kind of call out the plot points. I mean, it's like you watch a movie and you can know how it's going to go. And you say, oh, that's the killer halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of that. And Michael Rand wrote at the time that, yeah, actually there is a lot of reason to expect Stephon Diggs could be traded. And I think revisited that this morning saying, hey, you know, a lot of times in this stuff, trust your eyes, trust your ears, trust common sense. Because, you know, I think that you and I have both covered this stuff long enough and learned that over the years that they may spin things one way or the other. They may, and they have to do that. We get that. But there's also an element of common sense that if you look at it as, okay, well, if I was in charge, what would be the reasonable thing to do? If, and obviously they have more information than we do. They have more experience, all of that. But there's still an element of reasonableness to all of this stuff. Of, well, yeah, this guy's kind of become a problem, and we need to see what we can get for him. And if we do, we need to move on. So common sense is still a good thing to apply to a lot of these situations.
And the Vikings are very patient with this process. Clearly, they talked to teams throughout the fall about Stephon Diggs up until the trade deadline, talked through them, obviously, this offseason, even during through public remarks about there's no reason to believe or what was it?
There's no reason to anticipate
that's what it
that
was.
Stephon Diggs won't be on the roster.
Stephon Diggs in that trade, it was inevitable because of how many talks they were having, because of the amount of movement now that we're seeing in the NFL with these trades. And frankly, Buffalo making that move, I like it from a Buffalo's perspective. Ben, do you think the Vikings got enough from Buffalo for a talent like Diggs, who's what, 26?
Yeah, 26 years old, under a fairly team-friendly deal, and the signing bonus portion of things the Bills don't have to put on in their books. The Vikings still absorbed $9 million of dead money from this, so it's an attractive return for the Bills, which leads you to say, okay, did they get enough? And we've heard a little bit of that. That's kind of been the contrarian counter to this. Is initially, it's like, whoa, they got four picks, and then people say, well, it's not enough. It's you can't take that in a vacuum in terms of, well, he's a 26-year-old receiver that's under a team-friendly contract, has been very productive. It's not that simple. It's not just that. It's also, he is a player that the team knows has issues with the way they're going to do things. He has issues with the approach on offense. He has issues with perhaps he's not going to be the number one weapon, which means either the running back or the other receiver having a bigger spotlight. He has issues or is not sold, and I think we can say that, on the quarterback. So when you have all of that stuff in your building, that is going to affect the value of it as well. And if the Vikings, you know, certainly other teams have a sense of that. The Vikings have, I think, done their best to try to hide it, and you have to do that. But other teams are not without their means to get information as well. So I think that plays into the return to some degree. If it's a player that everybody knows is unhappy and you're trying to move him, then the other team has to say, well, all right, is he going to be unhappy here? I mean, that part goes into things as well. So I think all things considered, I think the return they got was just fine.
Yeah, the Vikings end up getting a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and then they get a 2021 fourth-round pick, and then they also ship out a seventh-round pick this year to Buffalo with Stephon Diggs, that first-round pick being 22nd overall. So they're now sitting at pick number 22 and pick number 25. That's going to set up for a lot of interesting talk whether or not they consider trading up and being aggressive in the first round. They've got 12 picks in this draft now. Yeah. After getting a net of three from Buffalo for all this.
Five of the first 105.
Yeah, and that's not a bad spot to be at, especially at 22 and 25. They need corners. They need offensive linemen. There's still plenty to do in free agency. But, Ben, when we're talking and assessing the Diggs trade, people need to keep in mind that there's been a lot of wide receivers who've been shipped out for crap and just nothing. Antonio Brown, the peak of the disgruntled wide receiver recently, gets shipped out for third and fifth round picks. Amari Cooper, the not disgruntled wide receiver but first round pick, talented, gets sent for the 27th overall pick to Dallas from Oakland. So I just don't understand necessarily the thought that, oh, they should have gotten more, held out for getting more, because as you said, these issues weren't going away. That was pretty clear. And the fact that this offer is about as good as you're going to do. When you look at the best offer for a diva, or, you know, not diva, but a top wide receiver who just wanted out or is on the move, Odell Beckham Jr. Is the guy that comes to mind. And the Giants got a first, a third, a safety in Jabril Peppers, who was a first round pick. And then I think they swapped picks in one of the later rounds with Cleveland. That's on par with what the Vikings got. And so I don't know. I don't see much room for argument in saying, well, you know, if I'm another team, you got to hold, or if you're the Vikings, you have to hold out for another team giving you some ransom that's just not going to come or really hasn't come. Because frankly, that only happens with quarterbacks where you get a team such under the gun that you give up a first and a fourth for Sam Bradford.
Well, and especially when we're in a draft that's supposed to be historically loaded with receivers. I mean, the same reasons that people are saying, oh, the Vikings can go replace Stephon Diggs would be the same reasons that somebody would say, no, I'm not going to take on a receiver that's already in the league and pay all this money and take on potential problems if I can go get my own guy. Now, as I think the counter to all of this, as I'm sure we'll talk about more, is that draft picks are lottery tickets. They're not guaranteed to produce, and when you have an established player, especially one that's that young, there's value there too. But it would be very easy for somebody to say, whether it's what they believe or it's the poker position they want to take, no, I'm not doing this. This is not a tough draft for me to go get a receiver. So I think that's the Vikings alternative. Yeah. It also could lead teams to say, uh-uh, I'm not giving you that much.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to me that this trade happens late Monday night after a very busy day for the Vikings that started with extending Kirk Cousins 2 years to his contract. They now have him under contract for 3 years. It's another three-year deal.
And the Vikings just announced they have officially agreed in principle to the deal, which means they probably haven't signed it yet because nobody can. I mean, nobody's able to go do that in person.
That's another layer of this whole thing. Yeah, free agency is going on. The NFL world is churning on as kind of normal, even though the whole world is not normal.
Scanned e-signatures count for contracts? I
guess.
I suppose they'll have to, right?
The NFL did announce through one of its spokespeople yesterday that NFL players are not allowed to go to team facilities for 2 weeks. Free agents can agree to terms, but they cannot sign deals at team facilities. They can't take physicals. Teams are trying to complete deals by having independent doctors do physicals in cities of players' choice from wherever they're at. So probably a lot of doctors in L.A. getting a lot of business.
Probably. Florida, I would assume.
But Texas. Anyway, so it's just that's one little layer to all this that changes free agency for the NFL. But it is kind of odd even from – I have to stop myself, you know, in this really busy time and go like, this is weird because the rest of the world is not seeing it through the prism. Certainly we are is in the weeds of NFL free agency.
Yeah, we look at it. I mean, it goes on yesterday like it always does where it goes really fast and – I mean, yesterday was, even by normal standards, a pretty busy day with all the activity. But, you know, it's a new something coming out every couple of minutes, and the pace of it is fast and exciting and all of that. And when you're in it or when you're following it that closely, it's very easy to forget that there's other things going on in the world that are much more serious. And it was kind of an odd thing yesterday, but it was pretty vintage NFL in the end, wasn't it? To say, yeah, you know.
And I've had a lot of...
We're going to keep going.
I don't know if you've had this too, but I've had friends and family members who just say that they're... it's a welcome distraction, honestly. Because everybody loves the transaction news, you know, maybe even more so than the games themselves. Because everyone likes to play the fantasy stuff in the offseason.
Everybody likes to do franchise mode on Madden.
Positioning things, yeah. And just kind of, you know, seeing... And this was a very intriguing market with Tom Brady now saying he's leaving the Patriots. And potentially going to Tampa Bay or who knows where he ends up. Anyway, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what unfolds because the NFL also postponed all offseason programs that were supposed to start in April. So the Vikings weren't supposed to start till April 20th. That's already postponed.
Yep.
And that's over a month out.
If, by the way, if Tom Brady signs with Tampa Bay, the both TB quarterbacks will be at US Bank Stadium this fall. Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Teddy Bridgewater signing a three-year, $60 million deal with the Carolina Panthers today, who also come to Minnesota this fall.
That's amazing, Teddy Bridgewater's deal. $20 million a year for a guy less than 4 years after what happened.
Yeah, and and there's still talk of the Panthers drafting somebody. It really changed the entire trajectory of his career in the sense that he's no longer afforded the benefit of the doubt as the guy you can count on. But he's gotten himself back and has made himself some money by just working at it and being a guy that you can count on.
Well, and that's going to be fascinating because he's paired now with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, the LSU offensive guy who got all the praise for what he did there with Joe Burrow. That's fascinating to see what's going to happen there with Teddy because they've got talent on that roster, and I know they're rebuilding a little bit, but I'm just happy for Teddy.
It may not be a bad fit.
No, and I'm just happy to see him get paid the way he did because 4 years ago, there was just 3.5 years ago, I guess, there's just no way you could convince me his NFL career was going to continue 1 year, let alone the way it has. So it was pretty cool to see. Anyway, Kirk Cousins, 3 years, nearly $100 million. They guarantee 61 of it, you tell me, Ben?
61 guaranteed at signing. So
if I'm – so Vikings fans hear this, people who like Kirk are saying – hoorah, all that stuff. People who don't are saying, God, how do we get out of it? So tell me, what is the earliest way? How do the Vikings get out of this contract if they decide to, let's say, trade pick 22 and 25 up for a quarterback? Or let's say after a year or two, they go, ah, God, we got to get out of it.
Well, okay, so here's how the whole thing breaks down. He gets a $30 million signing bonus, which is basically converting his base salary this year into a signing bonus. He was scheduled to make, I believe, $29.5 million this season. They gave him a $9.5 million base instead, and then another $500,000 workout bonus. So basically, he converts into a signing bonus and gets another, call it $10 million for the trouble. But it also reduces his cap hit by $9.5 million this year.
So it saves them nearly $10 million against the cap.
Correct.
And that's the main reason why the Vikings do it, out of necessity almost.
Right. And I think we all saw that they were looking to probably do something with him this year anyway. But the 2 years after that are where things get interesting, because he has a $21 million base salary in 2021 that is fully guaranteed. So $21 million plus the $10 million slice of the signing bonus are on the cap. So $31 million cap hit next year. If they were to cut him next year, they would eat $41 million in dead money. So you're probably not going to be able to do it on that sense. And then if he's on the roster the third day of the 2021 league year, so basically this time next year, you know, whenever the league year starts, but you know, probably by Friday, you know, it usually starts on a Wednesday. So if he's on the roster of as of that Friday, his 2022 base salary is guaranteed, and that is the big one.
Theoretically, if you wanted, because he has this the difference in this one, and you were telling me this before the podcast, is other contract he had a no trade clause.
Yes,
this one
he does not have it here.
So theoretically, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, I'm just saying that theoretically, let's say that the Vikings find another option or decide that they want to move on from him, could they trade him after next season and not incur much dead money?
Yeah, I mean, you could. I
so
think
what's if, the what would happen? How much is it? Because they would ship out, obviously, the base salary.
Yeah. You'd eat the signing bonus. You'd eat $20 million. So it's a lot. But it's not as bad as $41 million.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, it
okay,
is.
Okay, so
it's a lot.
And I'm talking through this because I don't know the structure. So I'm learning the structure of the contract as we talk through this. So Ben, this is really a 2 year deal, and then we need to address this for the future, because go through the cap hits. It's what this year?
$21 million this year.
And it's what in 2021?
$31 million.
And then after that?
$45 million. In 2022.
So the next 2 years, it's manageable cap hits, quote unquote.
Yep.
Manageable.
Well, it's a cut this year, and then basically next year, his cap hit is what you were expecting it to be this year. Now, you expect the cap's going to go up. It tends to do that every year. There's going to be new TV deals, which will inject more money. The $45 million hit in 2022, I can't imagine he's playing on that number.
No, and I can't imagine the Vikings would expect that one bit when they agree to this deal.
No.
So I imagine is both sides know that this is probably a 2 year deal, and then we'll see. And then
basically what the last one was.
And we have to talk through it, kind of thing. But that 45 is looming more largely than even the 31 did. That's huge.
And he's going to be 34 years old at the time, too. And you know, you're not ancient by any means at 34 years old in the NFL when you're playing quarterback these days. He's been extremely durable, as I think I've pointed out a couple times. He has yet to show up on an injury report for the Vikings. So
this benefits Kirk in the sense that if you're Kirk and this is bravo Kirk, because Kirk is like
Mike McCartney, his agent, has done a very good job here.
The Darrell Revis of quarterbacks here, of a guy who's just mercenary, short-term contracts, maximize your value, bet on yourself, always know that you're going to have the highest leverage because of the position you play. And for him to do this, it behooves him to do a shorter-term deal. The Vikings want obviously all teams want longer deals. Spread money out, team control, cost control. It behooves all players, if you were betting on yourself, to do shorter-term deals.
Correct.
Clearly, he has the stomach for it, because he does this, and it's to the point where now he's going to hit free agency, or not free
Again.
Agency, but because the Vikings can't cut him, though. So, like, it's something almost where, like, it's not free agency. He knows where he's going to get paid by the Vikings again after 2 years of this deal, when there's a whole new landscape of what the TV deals are going to look like across the NFL, what the salary caps could potentially be. He's setting up to renegotiate every 2 years, even though he's not even touching a franchise tag. It's phenomenal.
The reason that players sign long-term deals in the first place, generally, is there's a bunch of cash sitting in front of them. it probably on a long-term basis doesn't make a ton of sense if you assume that I'm going to have a career in 5-6 years that my trajectory is going to keep going up. If I know that that's going to happen, I'm going to say, no, I'm not taking the long-term deal. I'm going to take a little less cash now and not give away my earning potential in the future for whatever certainty I get right now. The problem, of course, is the NFL is a brutal league in a brutal sport. So injuries and the ruthlessness of teams are the two big factors that shorten your career, because contracts are not guaranteed as they are in the NFL or the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL. What Kirk Cousins has done here is said, screw that. I'm going to take shorter deals that are... His last one was fully guaranteed. This one is, for all intents and purposes, fully guaranteed. I mean, there's not a great time to cut him at any point in this deal. And he gives himself probably yet another chance, if he wants it, at the open market, or another chance to get another deal from the Vikings. So he has said, I don't need the 7-year security. I don't need to have some number of, you know, $140 million over 5 years or whatever the number would be. I don't need to have all of that stuff mapped out until I'm 39, 40 years old. I'm comfortable with the idea that somebody's going to pay me to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and a very highly paid starting quarterback in the NFL, because I see what's going on around the rest of the league. I see the deficiencies at the position, and I know somewhere or another there's going to be a market for me. That's the strategy he and Mike McCartney have employed. And so far, it's worked very well for his earnings.
And it's impressive to see him do it at a point where the Vikings were knocking on his door this offseason, yep, and saying, hey, we need you to do this.
He had leverage.
We need you to do it. He had more than he naturally would have, yep, just as a quarterback, you know?
Yeah, and the sense I got at the combine, and we talked about it a little bit, but yeah, was they were not coming and saying, yeah, we'll cut you a break. It's, no, we negotiated leverage, and if you want to do this, it has to be worth our while. In fact, I had somebody tell me yesterday that he had turned down an offer from them last week. So they were not looking to sit here and say, yeah, we're going to sacrifice earning potential. It's, no, this is the market rate for a quarterback. We have leverage, and it's a negotiation. If you want to do it, then you're going to have to make it worth our while and do something for us on the other end of it.
Yeah, and he ends up getting a lot of money in return. He's already set to make $30 million this year, gets $60 million guaranteed on that, with obviously a trigger to guarantee a whole lot more in 2022, where the Vikings will have to address that contract. Ben, it says, what do you think about the Vikings' long-term outlook at quarterback? Does it say they're fairly locked in? To you, does it say they're fairly locked into Kirk and everything that kind of he brings to the table at the position, and that they're not considering moving on from him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you'd sign him to this deal. I mean, if you had wanted to, because they've cut enough people that they could have said, well, all right, we're going to draft somebody, and we're going to trade Stephon Diggs, and now we have 2 first-round picks. If we want to move up and try to get into the top 10 to take Tua Tagovailoa or whoever you like, we could go do that. And then you have that guy sit for a year and you have Kirk play it out, and it's probably a little bit ugly, but Kirk's not going to be the guy to rock the boat. It's not the way he tends to do things. So you draft somebody and move on. That's not the prettiest way to do it, but you could have done that, and I think made it work from a cap perspective. It would have been tight. You probably don't franchise tag Anthony Harris in that scenario, but if you're that interested in saying we have to get out from under this and find a different quarterback, you probably at least explore that option. The fact that they didn't do that, I think, tells us that they are comfortable with him going forward. Now, you know, maybe in a year or two that's a different story, but I think, and we've said it all offseason, that the forces at play here are stability and win right now, because you still have a head coach and a GM that don't have contracts beyond next season. Now, I don't think that will stay that way.
We did hear rumblings that it sounds like Mike Zimmer might be getting a contract extension at some point soon, or that they were working on it. So that sounds, but it's also something that was expected. Mike Zimmer said this at, and this is now the time of year where things that were said 2 months ago become news again, just because they're being said now, like the fact that Dalvin Cook is probably going to get a contract extension.
Yeah. Rick Spielman said it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. At the combine where he said, we put him in the same class as Danielle Hunter. Well, what happened to Danielle Hunter? He got a contract extension. Yep. He's in Minnesota. Anybody listening, they intend to pay Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
There is a debate nationally and, internationally, whatever, about football. Like, do you pay top echelon running backs? If you listen to the Access Vikings podcast, you know what aisle the Vikings fall on. Frankly, if you just watch the Vikings, you should know what aisle they fall on because of how much Mike Zimmer talks about it and how much they run the ball.
Well, and Rick Spielman said it at the combine that we put him in that category, like you said, with Danielle Hunter. Whether they should is a different question, but they're not listening to that in the sense of a decision like that. I mean, analytics are a bigger part of their thought process on a daily basis than I think they have been in a while. I think Rick Spielman listens to more of it than he has in the past. Mike Zimmer has made it very clear what he thinks of analytics, and especially as it relates to a world where you have to throw the ball as much as analytics and data would say that you should. Mike Zimmer doesn't buy that. So if Mike Zimmer is saying, I want my team to be built in this capacity and in this manner, he's probably saying, I want Dalvin Cook to be here. And the fact that Rick Spielman said what he said at the combine indicates that he's listening to that. So, yes, I think they're going to pay Dalvin Cook. I think, as you said, with Mike Zimmer, I think a contract comes. I think one will come for Rick Spielman, too. The discussions I've had with people about that this week is, nobody seems terribly worried about that. It's like, yeah, it'll probably happen maybe after the draft, maybe a little bit later this spring. That'd be when I'd probably watch for a deal. If I had to guess, it's 2 years. You keep them on the same trajectory as Kirk Cousins, signed everybody through 2022, so everybody's tied together. That would, if I was going to put money on it, that's probably what they'll do, is give each of those guys 2 more years. And then it doesn't really mean anything, because if they have bad years, it becomes severance for those guys, and you would move on from them anyway. But I think in all likelihood, both of them will get new deals before the season, and I would expect it's probably something along that 2-year kind of window like that.
Well, the makeover of the Vikings defense kind of is underway. Well, we saw right after we concluded the end of the last podcast we did last week, the Vikings officially cut Xavier Rhodes. They cut Linval Joseph, which we were expecting a strong, but at least maybe thinking like, yeah, that's a strong possibility if they can't work out a restructure with him. The Vikings did say through a statement by Rick Spielman that they are keeping the door open. They're going to remain in communication with both of them. I can't imagine there's a chance that Xavier Rhodes finds his way back to Minnesota.
No, I can't either.
I would imagine that statement was more about Linval Joseph and saying that they would keep the door open, potentially, depending on what Linval can get in free agency. That hasn't even started yet. Starts Wednesday of this week officially at 4 or 3 p.m. Central Time. Teams can officially sign, fax in signatures after they do physicals with doctors thousands of miles away, however they're going to end up doing it. But Ben, we know the secondary is going to change a lot. The fact that they was surprisingly tagged safety Anthony Harris with the franchise tag, it's a move that I was kind of kicking myself and thinking we might have should have thought of that, because it's a move that if they had freed up that chunk, it's such a cost-effective way to hold on to an asset that's worth much more than $11 million. $11 million is the one-year tender for the franchise tag that Anthony Harris got hit with, but reportedly he could be on the move if they decide to trade him.
Yeah, he could, and just checking around on that a little bit this morning, I would keep in mind the team that I think made a lot of sense for Anthony Harris before the tag hit, and that would be the Cleveland Browns. Kevin Stefanski, obviously the head coach there. Jeff Howard, the defensive backs coach, former Vikings assistant that worked with Anthony Harris the last couple of years. A lot of familiarity, probably a scheme that they feel like Anthony Harris can fit in, and they have openings there. I could very easily see a scenario where they are interested in making a trade for him, and reportedly could be a mid-round pick if the Vikings could pick up another 5 or 4, maybe.
Get a 13th draft pick thrown in there.
You know, they were 12 last year. Competition of the long snapper.
So, but that's a move that the Vikings could do, and then frankly, it's only made possible. And this is to paint a picture for you guys. Monday, busy day for the Vikings. Obviously, ended with the Stephon Diggs trade, beginning with the Kirk Cousins extension. That frees up the salary cap space before a noon deadline for the franchise tag. If the Vikings don't get that Kirk Cousins extension done before noon on Monday, Ben, do you think they have the room or decide to tag Anthony? Does one have to lead to the other? I guess is what
I'm asking. Pretty much. I mean, they basically would have had to do that to have the money to clear anything else out, because that wasn't the only thing they did yesterday. They signed CJ Ham to a 4-year deal. They signed Britton Colquitt to a 3-year deal. They put a second round tender on Eric Wilson. Yep. Those moves alone have cap hits, I think, of something in the neighborhood of $7 million this year between them. So you would have been looking at probably signing those guys and not Anthony Harris, I think, probably would have been the way that would have gone, just because they wouldn't have the money.
Yeah, that's just it. So the fact that it got done under the gun like that is interesting, and it's reminiscent of last year when Everson Griffin like rushed up to the building to sign his contract.
Waiting in the parking lot, wasn't he, to see if it was going to get done?
I think that's what it was, yeah, and rushed up to sign it just before, and that allowed them to sign
Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr, yeah. One domino had to lead to the other.
It was all the day that I think all that snow melted on, and I was trying to basically dig a trench through my backyard to get all the water out from, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yep. Mark Craig and I both had like catastrophic water problems at our houses that day, and you, as perhaps the only sensible one among us that does not own a home, had to do the press conference thing on your own that day.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that one move with Griffin led to Barr. This with Cousins seemingly leads to the Vikings being able to control Anthony Harris's destination. Kind of sucks for Anthony. I mean, it's a guy who's worked his way up, crawled his way up, the worst kind of way up the NFL, from undrafted, $10,000 signing bonus, practice squad, special teams, does all that for 5 years, finally gets to the point where he could be a free agent, unrestricted, and then you get slapped with that. Now it's $11 million. You know, you're not going to cry over $11 million, getting that as a paycheck if that's what he plays under. But what's happening now is that if the Vikings get that trade that they want for him, he doesn't get to pick the best contract on an open market. A team then gets to negotiate that based on a trade that the Vikings negotiated. So it kind of takes a lot of control out of his hands, and that's kind of the crappy part if you're an NFL player. That's why when you read about the CBA, when people read about it, like that's why they wanted the franchise tag taken out, because of stuff like this, where it takes another prime year off a player's career. And if you're not a quarterback like Kirk, you don't have that second half of your career to really build on in your 30s.
And Kirk is the Vikings' head player representative. I texted him on Sunday to ask him what he thought of the deal, and he kind of said, I kind of want to lay low on it. I don't want to really weigh into it too much. But talking with Stephen Weatherly about it over the weekend, who got a nice deal from the Carolina Panthers in free agency, he said a lot of the older guys were against it because it was, okay, we have the 17th game now. They're more worried about playing a 17th game than guys that are in their second or third year probably are. And it felt like, I think they felt like it didn't go far enough. And I, as you mentioned, the franchise tag, there's nobody in the NFL that probably has more reason to have contempt for that thing than Kirk Cousins. So it would be very interesting to have been a fly on the wall for some of those meetings and see what he was saying about that franchise tag in there, given what he went through with it in Washington.
That's right. With the 17th game now being improved, the NFL CBA brings with it expanded playoff fields, which are going to take place immediately, barring coronavirus pandemic related suspensions of play. So each NFC AFC field will have 7 teams, only one first round bye for each. Eventually, I think in a year or two, I can't remember what it is, but eventually we're going to see the 17 game schedule get instituted. And I thought it was interesting what Stephen told you, Ben. Stephen Weatherly had said that he looked at that as a benefit for a young player and saying that's an extra game to show what I can do ahead of my second contract.
Well, and the other piece of it that he pointed out was that as part of this, they agreed to let players go up and down from the practice squad to the active roster and back down without being exposed to waivers. I think they can do that twice in their career. That, very much like baseball, where you have so many times you can be optioned back to the minors before you run out of those. I think it's 3. I used to know all the baseball CBA stuff much better than I do when I covered it, but you have so many years that you can be optioned back to the minors, and then otherwise you have to go through waivers and potentially come off the 40-man roster, and there's all this kind of stuff. But that metric, or that device that teams have available to them now, is new. It looks somewhat like baseball, and Weatherly was pointing out it means that you don't have to go through waivers and potentially get picked up by another team, where you have to then learn a new scheme, learn a new team, learn a new locker room, and you're bouncing around a lot more often. If you believe in the place you're in, which obviously he does, you get more chances to stay in that same organization and potentially grow there.
So with Anthony Harris, the worst case scenario for the Vikings is they just pay $11 million to have a player they really like anyway.
Yeah.
And that's a cheap kind of, for a guy who's a veteran, should be on a second contract, that's a cheap deal, cheap rate to get a guy at what, 27 years old,
yeah.
I think Anthony is.
Would also stave off the Stringer Award curse for a
that's
year.
Right. Or the Media Good Guy Award, annually given out for people who are professional, courteous with their time, and understanding of the requirements that are collectively bargained between the NFL and its writers.
Those guys tend to be out the door pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That's tended to be the exception of Adam Thielen, who won it a couple of years ago.
It's like the Madden curse.
Yeah. These guys talk too much to the media. Bye. No, it doesn't really work that way. But
Steven,
that's we always kind of kick ourselves when that happens. Like, we lost another good media guy.
Yeah, Stephen Weatherly going to the Panthers.
Yep. Latavius Murray the year before.
Anthony Harris, though, Ben, that the worst case scenario is he stays here. If you're the Vikings, I say worst case, just meaning that what they want to do is get that $11 million off their books. Yep. What they want to do is ship him out for a pick and get an asset in return for somebody they thought they were just going to lose. Yep. And get an asset in terms that might be greater than what I'm surprised that they didn't do, because if he had just left,
it's a comp pick would have been higher than probably what they get in a trade, right?
Well, you wonder, because Stephen Weatherly is going to get him a comp pick.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
You got to wait a year for it, I suppose.
They might have plans to sign somebody that would have canceled out Anthony. Who knows? Who knows? What if they have? Yeah, they could have plans to get somebody. So we'll see. But. Point being, it does give them something in return then. Maybe it ends up being a higher pick than what would have been the comp pick. I'm not sure, somehow. Either way, maybe it's a way to help Kevin Stefanski get Anthony Harris.
Yeah, that could be.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
I don't think
they're
that's it.
Being that magnanimous.
But Ben, I still see, obviously, the corners. We're going to see Trey Waynes, Mackenzie Alexander sign elsewhere, most likely, including Xavier Rhodes. As we had hinted at and talked about, they're going to restart completely there. Linval Joseph doesn't come back. Everson Griffin's still a free agent. There's still going to be a lot of turnover to come. So I ask you, what is next in terms of what's to come for the Vikings?
It's going to depend somewhat on how much more money they are able to clear. Is Anthony Harris gone? Do they find a way to sign him long term that is a cheaper cap number? Because right now they're at like $12 million of cap space after the Diggs trade. I mean, all the moves they made, everybody's kind of like, how are they still that tight against the cap when they've made all these moves? Well, the things that they had to do to fill out their roster yesterday cost them money. They still have to sign Dan Bailey, who I expect will be back. You have other needs on your roster. So how much room can you clear yet to have space to go maybe sign an offensive lineman or try to get a defensive tackle somewhere or another? I think the fact that they have all these picks now, they have 12 of them, and potentially if they get another one, that is a easy way to get a lot of young players that you can control at relatively low costs if they're high picks and they contribute right away. It changes the makeup of your roster awfully quickly. And you know, the big takeaway from Mike Zimmer's season-ending press conference was it's a young man's game, and they have a chance to infuse a lot of youth onto this roster at cheap rates. I think that may be some of the way they'd solve the problem.
Yeah, in free agency, I would expect them to maybe sign a veteran corner or two just to fill out the numbers game, and understanding that they're already pretty young at that position. Maybe a veteran safety or two that's available. We'll have to see how that plays out. We'll keep you guys all updated on everything the Vikings do in free agency here, and I'm sure we'll have another podcast in the coming week or so, or maybe if they make another gigantic trade, maybe we'll have to do another emergency pod. Thanks again, guys, for checking out the podcast. Please check out all of our written work at StarTribune.com. We have other podcasts there as well if you're into Twin Cities sports. Thanks again.
Maybe you should get off the podcast.